A journey into sight. Today on The Balanced Word.
It's really simple. This guy was an evangelist by just saying, look, I don't have all the answers. I'm just telling you, I used to be blind and now I see. We can do that and we should do that.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Imagine being blind from birth, never able to see your loved ones or see the sunrise and set, or anything else for that matter. Then in an instant you receive your sight. Oh, the feeling that would accompany that experience would be hard to put into words. Today on The Balanced Word, we'll be introduced to a blind man who experienced the healing touch of the Master's hand. He not only received physical, but also spiritual sight. Here's Pastor Dave Roth.
At this point, the guy is making a case for, look, nobody's ever made anybody who's blind from birth be able to see. And he goes, so this guy, he can't be bad, because why would God allow someone who's evil to be able to have more power than anyone that we know has ever had? And why in the world would somebody who's bad want to do something so good for someone? So he's just laying this argument out for them that he's actually from God. And they answered verse 34 and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? See, that was their conception, that somebody, if you're born blind, you're born with a unique sin. And therefore, they cast him out. That is, they excommunicated him from the synagogue and said, you can't be here anymore. Now he's stuck, because all of their lives were centered in the synagogue itself. That was all their social life, their family life, their religious life, everything. And now he's booted out because he can see. And so then Jesus heard in verse 35 that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? I love this, that Jesus had gone on. He's like, the guy can see now. Now he's on his own. But when he found out that this guy was being persecuted because of Jesus, and then especially having this compassion to go, they kicked him out? His parents had been really nervous about this, but now it's happened to him. Just because he's saying, hey, all I can say is I can see. I'm not out preaching the virtue of this guy. I'm just saying I was blind and I see. And because of their hatred for Jesus, they kicked him out. So Jesus actually came looking for him and found him and said, you know, he heard that he had cast him out. When they found him, verse 35, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? Jesus was here offering him something that was better, that was deeper, that was richer than anything that the synagogue could offer him. And he said, okay, they took your faith away. Let me offer you something. Do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Now the guy's life had been transformed completely. Physically, when his vision was given to him that he had never had. And now spiritually, he comes to realize that the guy who helped him, the guy who delivered him from darkness, is actually the Son of God, is God himself. And because of that, he bowed down and worshiped him. Now he had something deeper and more rich than anything that he even could have achieved by receiving his sight. And so then, you know, after he believed and worshiped him, Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Are you calling us blind? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you'd have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. In other words, you guys have a blindness that actually comes from seeing. Because if you didn't know, if you had no idea, then I would look at you as being blind, and therefore I would offer you an opportunity for you to see. I would give you a chance at redemption. But the fact that you sit here and you've seen this, and you say, we see everything, we know. And he's like, okay, if you do, if you see, then you are going to be held responsible for what it is that you've seen. And so the truth is, if you were blind, I would have compassion on you. But the fact that you are saying that you can see and you've witnessed this, you've experienced this, now you're in big trouble because you are rejecting that which you see. And you will be judged for your rejection of what you can see. Now, as we look at this chapter, there are several things that just jump off the page at me. One of them right off the bat is how Jesus noticed people that other people didn't notice. They were so used to, as they're entering the temple area, to see the various disabled people that would be sitting there, and they would toss them a few coins because they felt like they were doing a good deed. But they didn't see these people as those with real potential. They didn't see these people as real people. They just saw them as tragic stories. They just saw them as people who were somehow at fault. They would look at them and go, boy, what a testimony that sin will really mess you up because look how messed up these people were. But Jesus noticed this guy. And Jesus still notices people who other people don't notice. You might be going through a difficult time. Maybe your life has been really painful. And you just feel like a wallflower. You feel like nobody even cares or knows that I'm even here. And it's important to know, Jesus sees you and he knows you and he wants to reach out to you. You are not, you may feel like you're alone because people are giving you the cold shoulder, but he's the type who will seek you out in a crowd and say, I see you. Other people may just judge you. He says, I see you. That's what Jesus said in John 3. I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. The world's already in trouble. I came to save. I came to express love and forgiveness. It's so important for us as Christians that we represent Jesus in this way, that we're just not going around and seeing the problems that people have and lambasting people for the fact that they're committing all these sins. Jesus would look at people who were committing sins, but he would understand it's because of blindness most of the time. They just don't know. How can you hold someone accountable for something that they don't know? You can't blame a blind person for not seeing. Sometimes we get frustrated when we see people who are like, why don't you get this? I've explained it to you. But it's important to understand that when people are blind, they're blind. They need a supernatural touch for them to really be able to understand. So if we just stare at them, make jokes about them, or beat them up, or discount them, we're not reflecting the way that Jesus deals with blindness. The way he deals with blindness is he gives them an opportunity to see. Secondly, Jesus with the statement, I'm the light of the world. See, a light, and again, in John 1, he's the true light that lights everyone who comes into the world. John 8, I'm the light of the world. What does a light do? A light is not there so that you can stare into the light source. A light is there because it can help you see everything else. If I'm in a dark room, I need a light, but not so that I can look at the light. So that in the light, I can have other things exposed to me. Things can begin to make sense. We all have blindnesses. We all have blind spots. We all walk in darkness to one degree or another. And when the light comes, it's like in the Psalms, David says, in your light, we see light. In other words, what you do is you make everything else make sense for us. And it's only as we are in a relationship with him that other things begin to come into focus. And that's what we see happening here. All of a sudden, not only do you see because of Jesus, but you see everything in a different way. The more you allow his light to reflect off of you and to shine and to point out things. But realize that most people are in the dark. Can't fault them for it. What they need is the light. What they need is for life and eternity in heaven to start to make sense to them, and Jesus is that light. But as in this case, in this story, Jesus comes along, and when he does, sometimes he's very divisive because you have to choose. People don't just like, well, maybe I'll accept Jesus, maybe I'll just let it go, maybe I won't do anything. People have a tendency to either love Jesus or to get mad at him and to hate him and to blame him for things. Jesus is divisive as he was then. The neighbors were divided, the Pharisees were divided, because it's like, wow, he comes and he is this pivot point whereby it's going to change everything else in my life based on whether or not I decide that he is who he says he is or I decide to reject him. And so we shouldn't be surprised when controversy comes around when Jesus shows up, because he forces us to make a choice, to head one direction or the other, either into greater darkness or to move forward into the light. Another thing we see in this story is, and I think this is important for us to remember, is that when Jesus works in our life, quite often it is not just one solitary event. Well, I was totally against God. I didn't love him. All of a sudden, I decided, I accepted him, and then I'm done. It was great. Sometimes we treat the gospel that way. But we see, for instance, with this blind guy, this progression where he says, first of all, and as you look at verse 11, he referred to him as a man called Jesus. That's all he knew. He knew that he existed. He knew what his name was, and that was about it. But when we go down to verse 17, he's getting a little more in depth, and he says, I guess he's a prophet. I guess he's someone who somehow speaks for God. Later on in verse 33, he says, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. So he went from seeing him as a man to a prophet to now he's a man that comes from God, that speaks for God. And then finally in verse 38, when he says, I believe, and he worshiped him, he comes to this full recognition and realization that this man, this prophet, this good man, he's actually the Son of God. He's actually God, and he needs to be worshiped. But it takes time. Maybe some of you are somewhere along this path. You know, don't feel bad if you're just feeling like, yeah, I'm here because I'm kind of, you know, liking the idea of Jesus, and I like his stories, and I'm even thinking he may have something to say to me. But if you don't fully understand that yet, stick with him, because he wants to lead us along. In fact, for every one of us, our life is a progression. You know, when I accepted Jesus, there were certain things I knew, but I didn't know everything that I've experienced and learned ever since then. He works with us. He calls us to a path. He calls us to a walk. And a part of that is progressive. So where you are right now isn't necessarily where you're going to stay. This is where you are up until this point. But when God works in our lives, when Jesus begins to reveal himself, quite often it's more likely that it's a progression. I talk to people a lot of times in our church who say, you know, I know when I came here, I really wasn't a Christian. And they go, but I felt like something was going on, and over the last 6 months or over the last year, my life's really changed, and now I know I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. That is a usual thing, not a dramatic thing. Again, it's pretty dramatic to be blind from birth, and now you can see, but that was just the first step. It was this you know, progressive revelation of who Jesus was that made all the difference in the world. Much bigger deal for him to realize that Jesus is God and should be worshiped than it is to be blind and now see. But God was working with him through all of that. It's a progression. Now, the other thing that I think we need to face and we ought to experience is that God looks at our blindness, and he wants us to see. We are all blind in different ways. Let's face it. You know this about everybody else. A lot of times you don't know it about yourself. We have blind spots. There are things that don't make sense to me. They're confusing things. I look at the future and I'm like, well, what's going to happen with that? Or I look at situations, I look at people and I go, what in the world are they thinking? What is going on? I look at our world and I go, this place is baffling. There's no real logic or progression to it at all. But it's important to recognize that what God wants to do is to open your eyes to the truth, to give you greater understanding and insight, to know more about yourself, to understand others more. And he is one who brings his light to the picture and says, let me shine who I am on these situations that look dark for you, and let me make a difference. Let me bring the light to that. And that's what Jesus wants to do. And so if there's any area of your life where you just think, I just don't know about that, understand that his heart is to come and to help you to see things in a fresh perspective and in a new way. And when he is there and when we're listening, we're paying attention to him, we do start to see things in a way that we didn't before. I'm amazed to think back on when I was younger, how many things I didn't know that now I've come to understand. They begin to make sense to me. But at the same time, there are still a lot of things in my life that I just shake my head at and go, I don't get that. But that's my darkness. That's my blindness. He wants to help me. And the key to that is being connected to him and allowing him to show the light. Now, there's one more thing in this story that I want to point out. And I'll refer to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. You know, here Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. In chapter 8, he said, I'm the light of the world. In chapter 1, John says, he's the true light that lights everyone who comes into the world. But in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says to his disciples, you are actually the light of the world. How can Jesus say, I'm the light of the world, and say, you are the light of the world? Well, we have an opportunity to reflect his light. The only source of light that we have is him, and as he works in our lives, that can be reflected. We can represent him to others. And there in Matthew 5, he says, you're the light of the world. He said, you don't cover up a light. You put it out there where people can see it. And he said, let your light so shine before people that they will see your good works. They will see how nice you are, and they will end up glorifying your Father, which is in heaven. For this guy, he's healed. But at this point, he doesn't have a bunch of information. He can't, like, let me explain this theologically. Let me show you Old Testament scriptures that predict that Jesus was going to come. He didn't have any of that going on. All he could say is, look, here's the bottom line. I used to be blind, and now I can see. Look what God has done in my life. That's all I know. And if all we can do is to say to people, all I can tell you is, man, I used to be a lot more mixed up than I am, but Jesus has made a difference in my life. We don't have to argue with them. We don't have to explain it out. We don't have to get all technical, make sure we get the right theological, jargon. All we have to do is go, all I can say is, this makes a difference for me. Our responsibility, if we know Jesus, is to be that light, is to reflect him and share with others about him. But you don't have to overdo it. I mean, it could be as simple as just inviting someone to come to church with you. You know, and again, we have holidays coming up, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, great opportunities where people go, yeah, I should probably do something religious on this day. You know, I'll go to church before we hunt for eggs and eat chocolate. All we have to say is, hey, I'm going to this church, and all I can tell you is it's really making a difference in my life. I'm starting to see things that I haven't seen before. That's all it takes to reflect his light and to show the light of Jesus Christ, to help people to begin to see life differently, to see their own lives differently, to see other people differently. It's really simple. This guy was an evangelist by just saying, look, I don't have all the answers. I'm just telling you, I used to be blind and now I see. We can do that and we should do that.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. As we go through the Gospel of John together, there may come a time when you'd like to hear a message again. You can do so rather easily at thebalancedword.com or call and request a CD copy at 949-362-7475. By the way, we're making this complete series in John available to you on a thumb drive for a donation of $10 or more. Go through this powerful gospel from start to finish with Pastor Dave. Again, call 949-362-7475 and we can help you with that. Please remember, it's your support that allows us to bring the teaching of God's Word to the radio every day. Thank you for standing with us. Again, we can be reached at 949-362-7475. Or you can make a donation and resource request online at thebalancedword.com. We'd like to invite you to visit us at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. Pastor Dave Rolfe teaches most weekends, and you can hear him teach the Word Sunday morning at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. He always enjoys meeting his listeners, so please say hi after the service. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Now here's Pastor Dave to encourage us to tell our story as we get back into John chapter 9.
Now, if you're here today and you really don't get it, I mean, you come to church because it's like, well, it feels good to be in a church. I feel like maybe I'm going to pick up some points toward heaven, or I might at least meet nice people while I'm here, or I'm addicted to Oreos or something like that. You know, that's okay. I'm glad you're here no matter what the reason is. But I want to tell you that when you come in contact with Jesus for real, when you open your heart and just say, okay, I am open to your truth, I'm open to the fact that you might be who you say you are. And I'd love to have my sins forgiven. So if you can do that, that's a great place to start. I would like to feel free. I would like to feel loved. And if that's you, you can start this journey. Maybe it's already started. He's already been working. You've seen, you know, crazy things happening in your life that you can't totally explain ever since you started, you know, coming to church or thinking about coming to church, or you've become friends with somebody who is a Christian and you start going like, whoa, it is getting a little weird. Well, it's not weird. It's God reaching out to you, wanting to open your eyes to things that you never really thought of much before. And I pray, if that's you, that today will be the day when you bring yourself before him and just say, okay, I don't understand it all, but I'll give you permission to work in my life. I want to know more. Opening the door like that causes you to have your sins forgiven. It causes you to be loved in a way that you could never imagine. It causes you to acknowledge something that could have been obvious, except that you just didn't see it. If life is so confusing to you, here's a way to get some light. Here's a way to have your perspective change just by letting him do a work in your life. He doesn't want anything from you. He doesn't say, if you come to me, I'm going to make you follow a bunch of rules. He just goes, no, come to me and I'll give you rest. Come to me, I'll give you life. Come to me, I will give you love and forgiveness. If this is your day to do that, I pray that you don't pass it up. You might just move on and never be in this position again where Jesus is actually inviting you to receive the light. You already have some of the light. Everything that makes sense to you in life is a part of him enlightening everyone who comes into the world. Ultimately, he's the only one that makes sense. For the rest of us, I would just challenge all of us. What am I doing to be the light of the world? What am I doing to take what he has done and just allow it to be reflected toward others, toward people around me? It's not, you don't have to just go get rid of everything in your life and start over. You don't have to go argue with people and persuade them. It's not the Pharisees. It's like people who are blind realize this, see them. They are the way they are. They're messing up their own life because they really aren't seeing clearly. And God, I want to be an instrument to help them to see clearly. So tell your story. what happened? What was your life like before you had him in your life? Again, this is not a thing of, look how perfect I am. Just go, I don't know, there's so much I don't know, but I know one thing, I'm not as blind as I used to be. I'm beginning to see. Share your story with people around you.
There's much more to come in our study of the Gospel of John. We'll see you next time, right here on The Balanced Word with Dave Rolf. This program is listener supported and brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel, online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands, and